Welcome back to Beholder to Gnome on the TTRPG podcast. Today I'm here with Fan. Hello.
Hello. It is I, Fan Cheney. Yeah, there's my intro. Hi. How are you doing today, Nikki?
I'm okay.
Good.
I'm getting sick, but you know, whatever.
Don't get sick. You don't got time for that.
I don't have time for that. That is true.
How dare you get sick?
No, okay. How dare my body get sick for the first time in 3 years?
Man, I get sick for 3 years.
It's amazing what masks can do. They didn't give me bronchitis for 2 years in a row, because usually I get bronchitis every holiday.
Oh, good. I'm glad you didn't get bronchitis this year.
Me too. For three years now.
Nice.
Because I don't think this is bronchitis. I think it's just a flu. Mm. But I'll be fine. I'll survive. Everything will be great.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of everything being great, we're going to talk about today character bleed and also learning why you play the same character sometimes a lot and how they have like a lot of things in common and how it might be because of yourself being put into those characters. Because I may or may not have realized recently that I have a problem, and I do that with my characters quite a lot. Maybe.
I mean, the first step of acknowledging, or first step of fixing a problem, is acknowledging that the problem exists. But no, it is a very good and necessary conversation to have at a lot of tables, especially a lot of home tables, about the space you put between yourself and your character in order to give yourself the room to be human, and also so that character can live its own version of a life. In addition, the ability to be able to step away from that character and not feel emotionally raw or like you were living through those moments when it's your character's moments and not your own.
I was about to lie and be like, I have no idea what that's like.
don't do that. We both had this conversation before this episode about your character bleed, and I can also talk about some of mine. I got a lot of my character bleed stuff early on. I mean, I also forever DM, so I get less of that inherently, because I don't build such deep characters that I can put myself in as often, I should say.
I think it's happened more recently because I was so heavily using it as a coping mechanism for things. So a lot of my newer characters, like I'm sure that my older characters had it too, but a lot of my newer characters more specifically have been even more character bleedy. But there have been sessions where I was like, okay, I need to step away because the character bleed is real right now. Hmm. And be honest with your other players at the table, because I was like, there are games where I feel the emotions of my characters legitimately, and I'm like, why am I so upset right now?
Yeah, I think it's also a good thing to learn, you know, in also allowing yourself the space to be upset for your character, but not being upset because of your, like, as your character.
Yeah, there is a difference.
Yes, but yeah, seems like a fun thing to talk about.
Yeah, it's gonna be great. I okayed this conversation, so any uncomfortability, I okayed it.
You did okay this conversation, so at any point you can ripcord out, and I will be there right along with you. You're fine.
It'll be fun. It'll be great. I mean, I've had conversations on the show before that were like hard-hitting brain truths, like the burnout episode, for example. Mm. That one was a fun one.
Yeah.
Which was also the self-worth one, which was just even more fun. So, you know, I've had these conversations. But yes, so character bleed, for those that don't know, is when you are putting yourself into the shoes of your character a little too much, building characters that are very, very, like, similar to yourself, i.e. a character who shares your anxieties and your phobias and your ways of handling emotions, like Abby from my Vampire the Masquerade game.
Yeah, so like a character that you just cited from your own stuff. Also, characters that have a lot of physical similar traits can also be can be a form of character bleed or character similarity that can lead to character bleed. Because character bleed is that gray area where you and your character become kind of synonymous for a brief second or a brief moment or however long it lasts. And then the emotions there get muddled because you are living out this character's version of the story. And then the emotions are both your own as well as this character's.
It's even worse sometimes, because I realized one thing that was happening. When something is happening in real life and happening in a game at the same time, and it's the same situation, it makes it so much worse. Because that happened when I first started dating my girlfriend a while ago. I was also starting to date someone in a game that was also this person's first lesbian relationship and everything else. And it just so happened to fall like that. Like, it wasn't planned, but it was like the similarities were ridiculous. And I'm like, what the fuck is happening? But that meant the emotions in character felt even more real because I have experienced them just recently in real life. And I'm like, I don't know if I like this.
I don't know if I like this is a good way to reflect on it. Because I know a lot of people who are in home games or in games where they are just learning about the idea of character bleed and how it affects both the characters and the players at the table that they're at. Having that pause to go, I don't know if I like this. I don't know about that. Is a good stepping stone. One that I had much earlier in my own characters. I used to play in a D&D 5e game that was a customized module. I don't know if it still exists on the internet. It was a stream game way back when on one of my channels. I don't remember which one or when, or if it still exists in some form somewhere. It might. I don't remember. But essentially, I did not do much prep work for that campaign, and the character became one of the worst kind of character bleed type characters for myself. That and an NPC in one of my other stream games a while later. Both were pretty bad character bleed type characters. And it was a very interesting thing when I look back on them and I go, oh, wow, that really was just me in fantasy land or me in alternate 90s. Yeah. And then, you know, understanding that and understanding how that, you know, that impacted how those characters were and how they acted and things like that is always a very fun thing. And I say fun. It was a thing in retrospect that I was like, man, I don't want to do that again. I don't want to have those kind of characters where I feel emotionally raw after playing, even though nothing bad happened.
Yeah.
So.
I think for me, I didn't really intentionally do it. I never realized I was doing it. I was just building characters. And because they were different enough, my brain was focused on those differences and didn't connect the dots to the similarities. So, like, I know we had a conversation the other day about power-hungry characters, and I was, like, commenting, I'm like, how a lot of my characters currently are very power-hungry. Paladin from Shadowrun, and Karen from Monster of the Week, and Abby from Vampire the Masquerade, and now Showstopper from Masks. Like, a lot of characters were like, give me more, I need more, whether it's money or strength or whatever. And then also there's a cyberpunk character. And I was like, why is that a similarity? And then I was like, wait a second.
Because you can dive into the psychology behind these similarities and how they reflect on the character bleed portion of it. Like a lot of the characters I make, the trope I've been given by other people is that I make the broken but we can fix him character trope. And it's something that I was like, wow, I guess I do make those characters, huh? I didn't really think about it. And then I was reflecting on the characters I had made that were actual like player characters and not NPCs. And I was like, wow, I do make a bunch of those, huh? And then, you know, diving into the deeper parts of that, I'm like, well, what? And then you can dive into the psychology of what the similarities are behind these characters that have these traits that you share with them or you give them to make them relatable to you. And you can figure out some fun parts about your own psyche and how it operates, both good and bad. I say fun, I do not mean fun in the pleasant, enjoyable, happy-go-lucky kind of way, which is what the word fun means. So
fun sarcastically.
Yes, fun sarcastically.
Yeah, it's like when you look at it, for me, I always look at things very literally, and I was like, but I don't in real life, I don't want necessarily. Like, I don't see myself as wanting power, per se, like, being, powerful. But I do like to be in control. If you look at it from a different aspect, I like to have control over everything that I do, like the podcast and streams that I run and things that I take part in. I'm like, hey, let me help. And then I just eventually take over the project and burn myself out further, which I've gotten better at and stopped doing. But for the most part, I've gotten better at. But it never really occurred to me that, like, that is a source of power. Because in my head, it was just a very literal the word power and strength, or like the terminologies I was very literally taking from those situations instead of like an overall aspect of power.
Yeah.
So that's why I didn't connect the dots very quickly. But also, you know, I didn't want to look into it. Yeah, it wasn't until someone pointed it out that I was like, oh, wait.
Hmm.
Or it just happened to come out of the conversation. It's like, oh, that's weird. It's like, is it though? Is it really? Is it really weird? It's like, yes. No, 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 it's not. Okay.
But also, you don't, the other part of that is once you acknowledge like something can be as part of the character bleed, in terms of the where the line of separation between self and character can become kind of fuzzy, you can also learn and work on re-solidifying that boundary on what the difference is and still allowing yourself to have fun with the character, but also in a place where you're not feeling vulnerable or experiencing the emotions as intensely as if they were actually happening to you.
Yeah.
But also allowing yourself to feel for the character as you would a character in a movie or a book or a TV show. So,
well, ironically, I used to have, when I read books, I used to get so into them that I would have character bleed with the main character.
That's not ironic. You're going to say that ironically, but like none of that is ironic. That entirely, I think, leads into the issues that you are currently dealing with in terms of character bleed.
Unironically.
Because ironic would be something contrary to what is happening now, but that is not how that is happening, at least to my understanding.
Probably. You're probably right, maybe. I admit nothing. No, I'm kidding. You're right. But yeah, I didn't realize that was happening when I was younger, because I've always used books as escapism since I was little. And through like my mid-20s, really. But there were books that I had read where there were days where I literally like thought for like a briefest of moments that I had done the things the character did. And I was like, wait, no, that was a book. Hold up. That was not me. And then I have to remind myself, I'm just a boring human, aka going to work tomorrow, not a fantasy world character fighting something crazy and going through these political crises or whatever was happening. I don't remember the stories that I was reading at the time. But it was interesting when I, like, the first time I, like, did that, and I just, like, stopped for a second and was like, hold up. Maybe I should take a break from this book for a few days and, like, walk away and then come back and finish it when I'm in a different headspace. So I did. I don't remember what book it was, but that's okay. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah, I'll say it's not super important. The important thing I think you can take away from what you've just divulged there is the idea that you can take breaks from games, you can take breaks from characters when that character bleed gets particularly bad, to reassess, and kind of that's would be a good point to establish those boundaries. Like I had mentioned earlier, is during those breaks, like where does the character end and I begin? And vice versa, where do I end and the character begin? So that way you can then return to that game with a newfound sense of this is what the character is, and there's my line, and then here's where I am on the other side of that line. So the ability to take breaks, I think, is also something that's very undervalued, especially a lot in home games. I keep referencing that because I think that's what it gets seen the least, and it really applies the most for a lot of home games in terms of character bleed and how it can affect the relationships and the friendships of the people at the table. If it becomes a problem to characters and to players and it is not addressed or managed or helped in any way.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen players who fought in character and then started getting annoyed with each other out of character more than they were before. And it's like, hold up. You guys are friends. Like, why are you suddenly getting more annoyed with each other? And it was really because they fought in game, and that was the only thing that we could really think of that actually caused it. So we sat down in and out of game and had conversations like with the MP, with the players, and then like also with the player characters, to be like, you guys need to work together. Like, what is happening? This isn't how this works. Somebody needs to reevaluate. Then out of character, we're like, what can we do to help? How can we fix this? Or negate it a little bit. I know that I, when I was playing in a home game, I played a character who was kind of like out there, very different than what I normally play. She was a hippie and like super, like I played two characters that were hippies and I loved both of them. They were just very chill, very calm, very caring. And then she kind of went, started to go mad because she was the granddaughter of Yogg-Sothoth. And she started to get more powers from Yogg-Sothoth. And then that made her start to lean closer to that aspect of her life. And there was a scene where I did something in character that upset people out of character. And it wasn't intentional. Like I was playing a part, but we had to have a conversation about it ultimately and reevaluate how that situation went so that we could be on the same page and all be happy and coherent at the game, which is a big thing, like just communication with your party members and making sure that you are all following the lines and veils that are put in place, even if something new pops up that wasn't a problem, but suddenly is a problem.
Yeah. Or establishing new lines and veils and making sure that everybody is comfortable with where, how the game's tone overall is playing out over the course of the game. I think it's also very important. And the ability to talk and have those conversations both in and out of character, I think is a great way for people who can recognize, who know, or at least kind of are believing that there's some character bleed happening in another character at their table. The ability to stop, have a conversation, go, where is this in character, out of character? Is it a player versus player thing? Or is it a character versus character thing? And addressing that, getting the... giving the room and the space to have those conversations, I think, is also vastly important in terms of helping handle character bleed while it's still in a, before it explodes out and causes a problem for the group as a whole, and causes to, like, you know, groups to fall apart, things of that nature.
Yeah, and also I think having, after the session, having a little bit of time where you just like regroup and assess what happened in the game and ensure everybody's good, because like I know that there have been some games that have like super intense moments and out of character, the person and I would personally be messaging each other like, hey, are you okay with this? Are we good? This is the conversation that this is how it's going to happen kind of thing. And we'll like, even there was one scene with Mary on Monster Week Weird Web game where Nora and Karen had a huge fight. And this wasn't a character bleed moment, but it was related to like respecting boundaries, and we knew that we were going to say things that would possibly accidentally hurt the other person, but like it was meant to be specifically in character. So Mary said to me, I'm sorry for what Nora is about to say to Karen, and we okayed it with each other. We agreed that it was fine and we knew it was in character. And then after that game, we regrouped again and we're like, are we good? And we were, just to make sure if we needed to talk about it, we could, and still be okay with our characters. Cause like, there's a lot of times that where something happens in game that sucks ass and I'm like, no, I'm fine with it. Like this is amazing. This is fantastic. I love the drama, but there are times where it is upsetting a little bit, but like, again, love the drama. Like if I have a character die, I might be sad, but if it's epic, I'm like, no, that's fucking badass. That was the coolest shit ever. Like, that was the way to go. But yeah.
Yeah.
That also should be discussed. I know that I saw my friend have some character bleed when she kept getting, it was, I don't know if it was character bleed or not, but it was basically somebody kept outshining her character in game. And in game, she was getting depressed, but also out of game, she was getting depressed, which is why I think she was getting depressed in game. But it started to make her not want to play the game anymore because she couldn't play her character the way that she was supposed to. And we should have had a conversation about it and been like, hey, this is what's happening. This needs to stop. If someone says they're doing this, please don't try to outshine them and then ruin their plans.
Yeah. And that brings up a bigger conversation of giving everybody at the table space to do the things they would like to do and not stepping on toes. There's a litany of names you can give it, but the idea of intruding on another person's space to do something, I think, is an important part. Not less specifically strictly to the character bleed, more in terms of being of good table etiquette and that sort of thing. The idea that you give them the space to do what a character would like to do, as a player would like to do with their character. And then, because if you extend that courtesy to everybody else, the idea is that everybody else will also do the same, if everybody's on the same page. And that's, again, communication, something that you should have conversations about if needed, or at the start of like a game or a series, to be like, hey, laying down ground rules when you're talking about lines and veils, when you're talking about, you know, the content, the theming of the game, all this sort of stuff. It's very important to talk about. It's very important to also include, if you feel like it's necessary, or have that conversation when it becomes necessary.
And it's also important to update those too, as time.
Yeah. 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 And then reevaluate all that. Every piece of it that you feel like needs reevaluating, and then you can even touch up and just be like, hey, here's the content themes for this game, is it still good? And then you have the conversation there. One of my favorite quotes from a friend of mine, a very good friend of mine, Scooter over at Time to Tabletop, he always says, keep the conversation going. And that is something I hold very close to my heart, for many reasons, one of which being that, you know, if you can't solve problems in the tabletop space without a conversation, it is very much a group effort type game. And I think that's also why some people struggle with it, is because it is a group effort. It is not a, you know, you can't do it on your own. Mm-hmm. Which some people would like to do. And there are games for that. There are single player RPGs that you can also play that are, I think, suit really well the people that like to play, who like being able to do it by themselves and that sort of thing.
But yeah, there's a lot of fun one player solo games like Rune or 100-Year-Old Vampire, stuff like that. There's tons of them. And if you haven't tried one, you should try out a solo game.
Yes, you absolutely should. Iron Sworn is another really good one if you're looking for something more abstract.
You should also try GMless games, because those are also fun. Like For the Queen, which, if you didn't listen, it was on the show on the 30th. You should go listen to it. It's probably going to be fun. We're recording it in 2 days, so I have no idea.
This is just a shameless plug. That's all it really
shameless
is.
Shameless plug. Go listen to our 3-year anniversary episode of For the Queen, last minute recording of not edited whatsoever.
To also clarify, though, GMless games are in a different vein than solo RPGs.
Yes,
both are very good. Both are very good take on and a twist on the kind of traditional narrative of a DM and a group of players, where you have the solo RPG, which is just one person doing all the roles in a sense, and just being the storyteller as a whole, or the GMless one, where everybody has a hand in the storytelling as a group. And both are wonderful. Both fit a different kind of niche, I would say, in the world, in the tabletop space, than the other. So I think it works really well.
Yes.
I find GMless games are very good pickup games for groups of players that, you know, aren't like, so say that the DM can't make it, that sort of thing. You guys can still get together, play a GMless game for a one shot type thing, or just spend a couple hours together playing a game, you know.
Yeah, don't need to prep. Don't need to plan ahead. Just pick it up and go, like The Slow Knife, which we literally picked up and went with when we, like, another game got canceled and we played that. That was the last one shot that was on the show, other than For the Queen. But we literally, like, planned right before, okay, these are the things we're gonna do, and then jumped on the recording and went with it and had a blast. I feel
like we did. We got to watch our characters be awful, which is the idea. The idea of The Slow Knife is the quest for revenge from the protagonist, but you're seeing it through the lens of the antagonists that caused the downfall and need for revenge of the protagonist.
And that one, it was funny because there were moments where I was like, I do not condone this out of character. I do not condone this. This is
bad. We're doing some horrible things and getting real into unethical science. And we do not condone this as people. As characters, however, this is what happens.
As characters, this is how it's going down. Sorry, not sorry. At least the character is not sorry.
Yeah.
I think it's fun to explore different types of characters, but it's also fun to, like, realize I've been playing a trope. And it's interesting to, I found more recently, not even just in characters, but just in general, it's interesting to reevaluate things that have been going on. And that's because I started therapy, and therapy is hard. But
this is very hard, but it's so essential. This is your daily service announcement. Go seek therapy. There's never a bad time for therapy.
Even if you think you're okay, get therapy.
Yeah, even if you think you're fine, get therapy, because like it's you could realize that you're very not fine because you have a system that works. But like it's so, because I don't know, like, there's never a bad time to go to therapy. You should always go to therapy. If you feel, even if you don't feel like you need therapy, like go to therapy, just check in, go, hey, is my life still okay? Yeah, my life's okay. Good. Awesome. Marvelous. Update your therapist on where you're at. You know, have a good, like, here's the achievements I've done. Or you can go, oh, wow, I'm really not okay. And then you can get out.
I've been overcompensating for 7 months and overworking. And
for the podcast, I raised my eyebrows at Nikki on the video call. And because Nikki is once again calling herself out, like, she was like, man, this episode is going to be like a real call-out video. And I was like, we don't have to do this. We could do something else. And then here we are.
No, it's an important conversation to have. It's an important conversation to have.
It is such an important conversation to have. They're all like, I don't know. There's so many good conversations to have in the tabletop space because of the inherent communication and interaction that happens and on a fundamental level with tabletop games in general.
Yeah. And it's also like, by going to therapy, like, I learned that I was using things as a coping skill that I didn't realize I was using as a coping skill at first. Like, I always jokingly said,
coping mechanism?
That's what I meant. Yes, coping mechanism.
Yeah, okay. I just want to clarify, because it's important. There are coping skills, and then there's coping mechanisms. It's important to distinguish between the two.
Coping mechanism. Mostly, aka I was using tabletop games to ignore the problems I was having instead of actually dealing with them. So when I went to therapy and we started talking about said problems, I was like, wait a second. Hold up. That was a problem? That was a bad thing? Okay, cool. We're learning. We're learning and growing.
Mm-hmm.
We'll digest this a little bit at a time and then talk about something else next week. But it's good to learn new coping mechanisms or coping skills, actually, to learn actual coping skills to deal with the situations versus hiding from them by ignoring them and throwing yourself into work and or tabletop games.
Yeah, there's a litany of things that you can throw yourself into too, as a form of escapism, and learning better, more healthy coping mechanisms and behavioral health skills in general all kind of are good things to do, especially if you are, you know, realizing that the way you do coping mechanisms may be adversely affecting the people around you, both in the tabletop space and in your just general life. It's important to kind of assess those, and one of the easiest ways to assess those is through therapy. Mm-hmm. So yeah, go to therapy.
If you take anything away from this episode, just take that one.
Take that away. If you don't take anything else away from this episode about character bleed or any of the cool things about, you know, communication, go to fucking therapy. Are we allowed to swear on this podcast?
Yes. I swear all the fucking time.
Cool. Cool.
Go. I haven't been today for some reason, but I usually do.
It just happens sometimes, you know. You have your entire days where you're just like, I don't need to swear that much, and those days where just, you know, every other word is fuck. So
let's fucking go. Hello. Sorry for the interruption here, but I wanted to give you an advertisement for one of our friends in the tabletop community. Please give it a listen and go check them out. The moment has come. You're the DM of a brand new story and you planned for everything. Or did you?
What's the name of this dwarf bartender?
Your mind is reeling. You can't think of anything. All the ideas you've come up with are already used or so unoriginal. Frank the dwarf? Jerry? Bartender? Gah!
Actually, we're bored. Let's go next door and see what they have to offer.
Oh no, you didn't plan for them going next door to a building you didn't even describe. What are you going to do? What type of building is it? What type of store? Who is the owner? Oh no! Never fear, Derf Dice is here. Use other creators' tables to come up with names and descriptions on the fly, or create your own to fit your setting and style. With ease, you can quickly find those answers to those pesky questions that derail the DMing flow. Go to derfdice.com today for a free account and save yourself some time from prepping buildings they usually wouldn't go into. And now, back to the show. So looking into it now, like, I don't think that when I was using them earlier and I was in like one or two games, it was as big of an issue. It was once I was in like 10 games that it was an issue.
More than most people do ever.
Yeah. I'm still in enough games that are more than normal people. Mm-hmm. But that's cutting it in half too. because I'm in five now. But a lot of those are bi-weekly, so that's also good. So, like, minimizing how many times I play. It's a work in progress. Be a work in progress, guys. Grow with me.
2023, grow with me.
Be a work in progress, grow with me.
Yeah. But also the idea of, you know, the number of times you are playing in tabletop games or, you know, searching out those kind of experiences can also be a coping mechanism in and of itself, even before you dive into what you're doing at those tables. Just because for me, a big part of my last couple years, kind of before 2022 rolled around, was being in a lot of games, kind of similar to that, where I'm like, you know, in 5 to 8 games a week. And it's like, wow, that's a lot. And I'm running from something. And so having to stop and be like, well, what am I running from? Is it a good thing to run from this? Is it a bad? And then the answer, of course, is no, don't run from your problems.
I mean, it's worked out so well so far. That's why I'm in therapy now, to fix all those problems that I was running from.
Yep, exactly.
I am being so sarcastic. Don't run from your problems. I solve a joke about everything with sarcasm. Don't mind me.
But, you know, realizing that and understanding that and being like, wow, it's impacting, you know, my relationship with my significant other at the time. It was causing a lot of in real life problems for me because I was running from, you know, a bunch of other things by escaping into these other worlds and stuff like that. So it's a very, very fine line to walk, especially if you enjoy that kind of those kind of interactions and content and hanging out with individuals on that level.
So. Yeah, sometimes it's hard to realize that the fun that you're having is something that you're using to escape from things. Because, like, I really love tabletop games, and I've always loved tabletop games. So I was just really excited to play more games, and that's all I focused on was that aspect of it. It's like, yeah, more games. Awesome. This is exciting. Not, oh, wait. Hold up. Should I be taking on more games? Probably not. And also, like, on the flip side of it, having so many games also caused some negative consequences in the sense that games kept getting canceled, which affected me tremendously. So then my moods got worse, actually, some weeks because I was in so many games, which meant more opportunities for things to get canceled, which meant I started getting annoyed at friends that I shouldn't have been getting annoyed with because of them having lives. And I'm like, how dare you have a life? But logically, I was like, you need to get better. But my brain's like, how dare you take away my thing that I was using to escape from my reality?
Yeah.
And that's when I started to realize it was a problem and that I needed to look into that a little bit. But it's okay in moderation. Everything's okay in moderation. Most things are okay in moderation.
Most things are okay in moderation. And then understanding when you're using something or abusing something is often a good thing to be cognizant of, and then getting the help that will benefit you the most and also get you to a point where you don't need to utilize unhealthy coping mechanisms to stay sane is also a good thing to do.
Mm-hmm. We can just play games for funsies instead of other reasons.
Mm-hmm. Instead of running away from your problems or pushing off other things you don't want to deal with.
I don't know that life. No. Don't give me that look.
All right, I'm just looking over this way. Like,
So to give us a palate cleanser from this very deep conversation of character bleed and calling Nikki out because I need a break. We're going to talk about just tabletop role-playing game shit for the rest of this episode.
Yeah, the rest of this episode is much lighter hearted. Go to therapy and we're going to get off the train of calling Nikki out because of character bleed.
I okayed it. I gave the okay. 40 minutes is enough.
You signed up for this, so 40 minutes later, here we are.
I am excited because soon-ish, you guys get to listen to the Cyberpunk game that we are currently recording.
Yeah. Are you excited about that?
Yeah. We have 2 more episodes to record. We've recorded 2 so far.
Yep.
2 sessions, so that's approximately 12 episodes total.
It may be shorter than that. Yeah. But, like, I'm gonna... For the combat sections, since Cyberpunk Red is such a tabletop heavy game in terms of the combat, we're cutting that down into something more palatable for an audio only podcast.
Approximately.
So
it'll be a number of episodes of whatever number it is, but it's more than 4 and less than 12.
It might be 12 at the end of the day, because we still have two more recording sessions that also have, you know, X number of episodes.
12 is if it, we cut them each into 3 hours, 1 hour each.
For yes. Hours. Yeah.
So, at most, it will be 12.
Yes.
Unless we realize we need another recording after session four, and we're like, let's go.
Unless you guys want to do more as these characters, which I'm not going to stop you, but like, we'll do something, we'll do another kind of job gig type thing as this.
That would be fun though, if we did that and did more, mm-hmm. and we're like, yes, and then go back and see if any of the things that I plan for my character to improve upon actually improve if she survives.
Your character needs to go to therapy as much as you need. Yeah. Your character.
She needs it more than I need it.
No, your character needs surgery to remove the cyberware inside of her, because she's sitting on the dark precipice that is cyberpsychosis and taunting it.
She's fine. She'll be fine.
I don't think she's fine. I don't think staring at the wall of a bar for half an hour with a full glass of alcohol.
And then forgetting she asked for alcohol.
Yeah, and then forgetting about it. I don't know, that's fine.
She'll be fine.
I don't think so. I don't think that's how it works.
It might be how it works. We'll find out. You'll have to find out by going to listen to all the episodes, because I'm not going to tell you. Because I don't know yet.
Because we don't know how it's... Yeah, we're only two episodes in.
So. Yeah, and we're not recording the next two episodes till after this episode goes out, so...
Yeah. So
actually, we're recording the third session tonight at the day of this being released.
Oh, cool. Oh, neat. So, what day is that?
9th.
The 9th. All right. Right.
And then we're recording the next session next week, as long as nothing happens. As long as
everyone's alive to record the last session.
Yes. But I'm excited for that. I'm also excited for some of the other ideas that have popped up in my brain recently that I don't know when I'm going to do them, but soon-ish TM, I guess.
I just remind me of the idea that I had on Christmas Eve.
You're welcome / I'm sorry.
I need to finish that premise. I need to make that a thing. I need to go bug Jesse about it, because I know Jesse loves Scion.
Yeah, I have...
Good luck editing this, Matt. we are like, all right, we got the first 40 minutes is solid. Now everything else is just a derailed mess.
Yeah, it's fine. Some of the episodes are just a derailed mess the entire time. It's fine.
Oh, okay, cool.
It happens.
I feel a little less bad then.
I mean, you've had long conversations with me. You know how this can go.
Yeah, but this is not our long conversations have not been for a podcast. Our long conversations are just us having the deep life talks that I like to have with literally everyone that I have a remote friendship with.
That's besides the point. Yeah, then like we were talking about another idea I had, and then there's like an idea I had before, and there's so many ideas, and I don't want to, like, I want to talk about them, but also I don't, because then if I talk about them, then they have to happen, probably.
Well, they don't have to happen, but like, people will just be expecting them, so.
Fair, maybe.
Maybe fair?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Okay. Also, soon-ish, there's a new show coming out called Tabletop Dynamics that I don't know anything about yet, because I haven't planned it that far.
Okay.
But it's going to be released.
Name drop it here on this podcast?
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine.
Why not?
That, I mean, it's basically what I've been talking about, more or less, but in a more solidified format than...
Yeah. It's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. It's going to be great. It's going to replace one episode of this podcast a month on its own show.
Yeah.
So if you don't see a show on the last week of the month, that's why. I don't know if there's going to be one in January yet, because that's very close to now.
You already said it, made it a reality, so.
Well, I said I don't know if it's going to
be in January.
That means you and I have to talk about find a topic to talk about if you want to do it.
Yeah, we have to find a guest too, because best things come in threes.
So many things to do. But that's okay. That's okay. It's gonna be fun. And Adventure Academia is almost done, so you should go listen to all that stuff. because there are 13 episodes total. And I think episode 10 goes out next week. This week, though, you should go listen to Library of Sorrows, which is another Wraith game, Wraith RPG game. So go listen to that, because that was fun. And I got to end it very interestingly, in my personal opinion. So go check that out. But other than that, like, there's a lot of ideas that are possibly happening and things coming up. So you should just keep an eye on the Twitter verse, or if Twitter dies by that point, something else on like Instagram or Hive or whatever. I don't know. Hopefully Twitter doesn't die. I mean, it's already dying, but hopefully it doesn't die further.
Well, it'll be what it'll be.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows? We have Mr. Beast as the new CEO, and it might come thundering back into something decent.
You know, I could actually appreciate that one. We should like encourage him to do that. Just be like, go do it.
Already, there's already a tweet thread about it of Mr. Beast going, "I should be the new CEO," and then Elon going, "Oh, it's not out of the picture."
He could afford it.
Yeah, Mr. Beast could.
I think this was a very deep conversation day, and I think it was important, and I think you should keep an eye out on both of our stuff. So, speaking of, where can everybody find you on the interwebs?
Yes, you can find me anywhere on the internet, at Fanaccini. I'm big on Twitter, even though it's burning down, and I'm just riding this ship into its watery grave. It's on fire, the masts are burning, but I'm there fucking on the helm, just fucking doing what I can. So you can mostly find most of my projects or ties to a lot of my projects there. But if you're into the podcast life and you would like to check out another podcast that I've done in the past and still doing in the present and will be doing for the inevitable future until we watch it also burn down like Twitter, you can check us out at Response Team Omicron. We're on a quick hiatus, but Response Team Omicron is a podcast that I run and produce. And we are on all of the places that you can find podcasts, probably in the same place that you're listening to this one right now. Mm-hmm. And follows the group, a PR team, as they crash land onto the world of Hercynia. We follow the No Room for a Wallflower Act 1 book pretty closely. We're deviating a little bit more than we did initially, but we're still staying pretty close to it. So you can check us out there. Have some amazing folks on. I believe I'm going to tease this here, although it won't be till mid next year at some point. We will be having Nikki along with us for part of that ride. Though when we pick up at the end of January, sorry, Mike, when we pick up at the end of January, we will be finishing up our lovely guest run with the beautiful and talented Dauntless. So if you're into that kind of thing, go check it out over there. Otherwise, I'm on a litany of places, Twitter, Twitch, yada, yada, blah, blah, doing all sorts of random shit. You can go, if you go look in TikTok and find the delves of TikTok, you can find a sweet secret channel that I'm not going to name here. You're just going to have to figure it out for yourself. But if you want some fancy kind of content, you can go check out that place. That's me. Thanks for having me, Nikki.
Sorry. Yes. Yeah, I don't know why that made me laugh so hard.
I don't know. Why did it?
I don't know. My brain went places. Yeah, of course. Thank you for being on the show and having this lovely all over the place fucking talk and helping call me out earlier on in the conversation.
Again, you decided you recorded this.
I am not complaining. Okay. I'm just stating that you helped with it. It's okay. I'm not complaining.
Is it really a conversation with me if I'm not calling at least myself or somebody else out?
That is a fair and accurate statement. You can find me on Beholder to No One on Twitter and pretty much wherever things can be found. If you want to follow me on Instagram, you can. I just really post selfies there, so you're not going to be missing much because I don't really post much about actual this show at all on there. But I also have a TikTok, technically, where you could see me doing semi-voice acting stuff or just the weird creepy shit that pops out of my closet occasionally on this weird one thing I did that was creepy.
Did you get you had the AI filter tell you that you had ghosts in your closet, right?
Yeah, the AI filter said that I had a ghost in my closet, and I didn't like that. So, yeah. But other than that, you can find me tomorrow on 2000 Tales Roleplaying on YouTube, and I will be playing Showstopper in a Masks game, who is the star superhero, wants to be the center of attention. On Friday, I believe, you can find me on Monster of the Week, also on 2000 Tales on Weird Web, playing Karen, who's currently actually going by Kay Woods and a completely separate individual than she has been for the last three seasons. But if you want to watch or listen to the last three seasons, you can find that on a podcast on anchor.fm/2000tales. And there are lots of episodes to listen to, and it's very, very good, in my personal opinion. So you should check that out. And honestly, those are the only things that I'm currently in that are going out live, which is shocking to me because I used to have like 15 things I would say at the end of every session. You can no longer hire me for anything because I stopped doing freelance work because I'm starting a new job next week.
No longer. You made it. You made it into the real life, the real working force.
Again.
Again, yeah.
I will still be doing audio editing for the clients that I've already agreed to do audio editing with or have already talked to, but no longer accepting new clients and sadly will not be professional GMing anymore. But yeah, if you want help with stuff, I'll just help you with small things. But if you want to guest, I will guest too, probably. Probably. Oh. Especially if I get to play a villain. Let me play a villain for your games. That'd be great.
I mean, you're already playing a villain for mine, pretty much.
Yeah, that was not planned. That was just
fully ran you over the bus. I did fully take you, put you in front of a bus, started up, run you over, then run you back over again, backed over you, got out, like rotated you so I could run you over again and hit a different area. Yeah.
And I didn't even realize until Paul pointed.
I didn't realize it until Paul pointed out either. And I was like, oh yeah, no, I definitely absolutely set you up for a kind of success that is not success.
But yeah, so that's everything from us. If you want to check out everything, just come and listen to all the episodes and leave a review, guys. Go leave a review on Spotify and iTunes and all that stuff. It helps out.
Helps the podcast, yeah.
It helps the podcast. And also, like, we're almost at 16,000 downloads for this show, so maybe help us hit that. That'd be cool. That'd be great. That'd be awesome.
So up in the year with 16K, we're approaching 5K over on RTO. It's wild.
Nice. This is officially, as of the 30th, was 3-year anniversary of Beholder to No One. So yay to me for continuing to do this shit for 3 years. But I will see you next time. Keep being awesome. Bye. I don't know that life. No. Don't give me that look.
All right. I'm just looking over this way. Like,
mm-hmm. Sure.
Can move which monitor it's on if that helps.
Of your bajillion monitors.
It's only four. Don't go a bajillion like it's some weirdly over dramatic number. There's a lot of people that use four monitors.
I have two.
There's a lot of people who are very comfortable with two. I just like my four monitors so I can have my dumb setup of like four different things going on at once. My ADHD brain has enough to keep going. So yeah.
Don't at you.
Don't at me. I don't feel like this is necessary to keep in the recording, but don't at me.
Matt can delete it. It's fine.
Yeah. Hi, Matt. How you doing? Doing good? Good.
Delete that whole conversation portion of the four monitors.
Yeah. You don't need to keep the four monitor bit. Unless you want to. Unless you feel like it'd be a good outtake. Then just cut it out for the outtake and then you'll leave it in for that. We're getting off topic.
Yes, we do.
Oh! Hey everybody, I'm Fen. Hey Matt, thank you for suffering with me.
Hey, before you go, I just wanted to let you know that this episode was edited by Matt over at Walsh Animation. They are part of the Table Party podcast, and I wanted to give a little bit of a shout out to them, especially because Matt has been such a freaking lifesaver when it comes to editing the discussion episodes recently. So please listen to this ad for Table Party podcast and go check them out and make sure you give them some love. Thanks.
What makes Table Party different from other tabletop podcasts?
The music.
The setting.
The characters.
The gore.
A bunch of different games.
The refreshing coldness of ice cream.
The 300-foot-tall squid named Delilah.
The dice rolls.
The horrifying body horror.
The aroma.
The suffering of my players.
Dairy Queen blizzards.
The luxurious plush texture.
The free coupons.
Bad decisions.
And who can we expect?
I'm Kelsey.
I'm Matt.
I'm Gabe.
I'm Walsh.
I'm Chris.
Welcome to the Table Party.
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 Welcome to the Table Party.